Chapter 23. All group members will meet on Saturday, the 20th of July at 2 p.m. at Fairfield's Farm, where a surprise awaits you, signed, Philip. Patrick read over the message with a mixture of pleasure and dread. He had not seen Philip since the day Cyril had stolen the money from him. He had avoided Bob and the others for fear of embarrassing questions. Fortunately, neither of them had brought him any money since then. On Saturday, they would be certain to give their earnings and want to check up the account. What could he say to them? He felt especially tired this Friday morning. His back was hurting after carrying man-sized loads of bricks all the week. Would he get through the long working day? Towards the end of the morning, the foreman called him. Demiere, Mr. Brown, the architect, wants you. He is behind the house, talking with the owner. Much surprised, Patrick wiped his hands, ran to the place indicated, and waited in the background till the two gentlemen should finish the conversation. Presently, the architect noticed him. Are you the schoolboy working as a laborer here? He asked, looking keenly at the boy. Yes, sir. I have an urgent payment to go to the post office and cannot leave here at present. I am entrusting it to you. The money is in this envelope. You have only to give it to the employee and bring me the receipt. Give it to no one but myself at noon, in my office. Patrick jumped on his bicycle, delighted to have a change. The work of unloading planks and bricks had seemed endless. As directed, he delivered the envelope to the official who counted the notes it contained. Patrick's eyes widened. He had never seen so many altogether. There are $30. Too much, said the man. Are you sure you counted correctly, sir? Asked Patrick. Mr. Brown told me that I had only to give you that amount. The man counted again. I'm sure I'm right. Here's $30 to return. Bring it back to me if the boss doesn't want it, he said, laughing. A horrible thought came to Patrick. If he kept this note to replace the sum stolen, he could tell Philip he had found it, so he would not need to betray Cyril. For an instant, he dallied with the temptation. Money was so hard to earn. They needed so much to pay for that van. Mr. Brown would know nothing. After all, it was his fault. He had made the mistake, and the money would go to a good cause. But all the sedatives that the tempter offered him did not succeed in dispersing the growing uneasiness that filled him. More and more, as he neared the architect's office, another voice contended against Satan's in his soul. The Lord Jesus saw what was passing in his heart would he approve. Keeping the note would be stealing from the master who trusted him. Shame submerged him. He nearly forgot to stop at the red light in his haste to reach his journey's end. Envelope in hand, he dashed up to the office door and knocked with beating heart. Mr. Brown was not there. A sly-looking young employee opened the door and asked, with a disdainful air, what brought him there. I have something to give Mr. Brown, but I'll come back later, said Patrick. You can give it to me. That will save you a trip. Ought to see Mr. Brown personally. I'd rather come back. Don't be so fussy. Give me that envelope, said the fellow, seizing Patrick's arm. It's past midday. Mr. Brown's not coming now. I'm going to close up the office. This afternoon, the boss has other business. Come on, don't think you're so important with your old workman's clothes. Hurry up, or you'll get something from me. No, said Patrick. I have my orders, and I'll keep to them. Struggling to escape from the young man's grip, he rushed to the door and encountered the architect just entering. The clerk let go his hold and disappeared without a word by another door. You have a receipt to give me, my boy, said Mr. Brown, placing his dispatch case on the table. Here it is, sir. Also $30. You must have made an error, for the official counted it twice. That's good, my boy, said Mr. Brown, letting his glance rest on Patrick's flushed face. I've put you to the proof. I see that I can trust you. I heard you resisting that fellow who would have enriched himself at the cost of your reputation. Your honesty and firmness pleases me. I know that the work you are doing is not quite suitable for a student. That clerk is leaving me this very day. Will you help me for a short time until I find another? How old are you? I shall be 15 at the end of the year. What school do you attend? I'm going to Tech. Why do you work during the holidays? To pay a debt. A debt? Then this $30 would have helped you to settle it. You are not tempted to keep it? Patrick reddened under the penetrating eyes. Yes, said he very low. I was, for an instant. What made you overcome the temptation? I belong to Jesus. Mr. Brown turned away his head and seemed to completely forget the boy who stood respectfully before him. Well, well, he said, suddenly rousing himself. Go on unloading your bricks this afternoon, and come here Monday morning at 7 o'clock. If you apply yourself, we can make something out of you. Thank you, sir, said Patrick earnestly. I shall do my best to please you. Overflowing with joy, he ran to buy a sandwich and went back to the builder's yard. He felt as if he had wings, and the bricks seemed as light as feathers. To work in an architect's office, he would never have dreamed of such good fortune. It was the fulfillment of one of his cherished ambitions. He raised a heartfelt thanksgiving to God who had led him in the right path and kept his eye upon him.